The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, fellas, great job there. Amen. Take your Bible and go back, and for emphasis' sake, as I always do, go back to our scripture we read just a moment ago and look at Judges chapter 16. And my family, we have put off the vacation time for us to be able to go out. By the way, you're not going to find this in Judges chapter 16. But we have put off the vacation. You're there looking. Where's that found? I've always wanted to read about vacation in the Bible. But we have put off the vacation time just because we have so much on us. We are going to take, however, Monday through Friday as a time together. And so if you need anything, if you'll call Brother Palmore, who normally will answer in my stead, or one of the other men that would help you in a certain area, that would be great. Brother Jonathan also is heading out with us and his precious wife as well. And, of course, you know, Josh has to work, and so, but we'll be taking off. And so if you'll pray for us as we go out, we would appreciate that. But we're going to take just a little bit of time together. And so you bug Brother Palmore. If you have to go to the hospital, call him or one of the other guys. If you need your house cleaned, call him or one of the other guys. Or Judges chapter 16. Watch this. Verse 20, the Bible says, and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." Now watch this. "As at other times before," he'd done this often, "and shake myself." Then he says, "and he wist not." So he was not aware. He was unaware. The Bible says, "and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." I see a pattern. Now, you understand I'm a fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist preacher. That's the type of people I run with. That's the type of churches I preach in. I believe that probably that type of church, in my personal opinion, is trying to set the pace and soul winning and missions, reaching the world with the gospel more than any other group that I personally have seen. So this is my crowd tonight. But what I have seen is this. I have seen that all of a sudden people begin to dry up in pews and they begin to lose their burden. They begin to just show up and that's it. They come as they are. They leave as they came. And they don't do business with God. Church becomes that which is a byproduct. It doesn't become the main thing. They come to church for fellowship, and fellowship is good, though it should not be the main purpose. They come to church for a good time, and having a good time in church is good. I'd rather have a good time in church than a bad time in church. So it's good. That shouldn't be the main reason. But I'm seeing in our churches something that is a little bit fearful in that we have everything down, but it seems like that we have lost the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems like people come to church now more days to criticize that which is right and give excuses why they are not doing more than to enjoy the Word of God, be real with God, allow God to be real with them, and allow the sweet Holy Spirit of God to work in and through them. Now, I think we're going to find some things in common with Samson tonight. Let me tell you some things about him. And for descriptive purposes, let me just be a little bit analytical tonight. You'll find out that he was disobedient to his authorities. He's disobedient to God. He was disobedient to his parents. He was disobedient to his authorities. You'll find out that he delighted with his own eyes and became consumed with Delilah. He delighted something that was not in the will of God for him to delight in. You'll find out that he delivered himself into the hands of the wrong people as he would step out and would deliver himself into the hands of the Philistines. You'll find out that he dangerously played with those things that were subject into the world. Because of that, he lost his strength, he lost his testimony. Then you'll find out that he defeated God's purpose for his life and he ended up in death. What a very sad life. But can I tell you, it wasn't always that way. Samson was known as a mighty man. Samson was known as a strong man. Samson was known as a man that had great strength and vigor for the Lord. You think about Samson, if you will, in the book of Judges, chapter 16 and verse 3, where it describes how Samson on one occasion took off the doors of the gate of Gaza and also the doorpost, the two posts. The Bible says that he carried them to the top of Mount Hebron. And the Bible talks about how that Mount Hebron, if you would, was a 40-mile hike. Can you imagine carrying those doors of Gaza with the post 40 miles? He was a man of strength. In the book of Judges chapter 15 and verse 15, you'll see another occasion where he took the jawbone of an ass and he slew 1,000 Philistines. You'll see another occasion in Judges chapter 15 verses 4 through 5 where he caught 300 foxes, caught their tails on fire, scattered them throughout the fields of the Philistines. But yet there was a time in his life where the Bible says that he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. Now, let me talk to you for a few minutes here on this subject matter, and that is the cost of doing wrong. There is a cost of doing wrong. Let me give you some statements, some things that it cost us when we do wrong. Statement number one, it cost him his name. It cost him his name. Now, by the way, his name, if you were to look his name up and do a study on Samson's name, it meant this. It meant sunshine. So here Samson is running throughout all Judea, and when people would see him running across that which was the edge of the cliff, maybe jumping from one cliff to another cliff with the might that God had given him, maybe as he's speedily running down that which is a pasture area, maybe as he briskly sprinted across an open field, people would point at him and they would say, there he goes, that's Mr. Sunshine. That's the one that has brightness. That's the one that has happiness. That's the one, if you would please, that has the strength. Kind of reminds us of heaven. Kind of reminds us of things that are pleasurable as they would point to that which is Samson. But can I tell you, sin will destroy us. It will hurt us deeply. It was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. that said this, behind every human tragedy is a slow process of evil, wicked thinking. Somebody said this, that your thoughts produce an action, your action produces a habit, your habit produces a lifestyle. Man was sitting on an airplane one day, he was talking to a lady, he started to solicit her, and he asked her some very vulgar things, but he asked her, he said, look, he said, would you spend time with me in an intimate way for $10,000? And she said, what, $10,000? What do you mean, $10,000? He said, well, would you do it for $50? And she said, well, what do you think I am? And he said, well, would you do it for $5? She said, well, what do you think I am? He said, ma'am, we already understand what you are. Now we're just debating the price. You see, people know who you are by the mannerisms in which you carry yourself. People know who you are. The Bible says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. We ought to decide that we're going to have a good name for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here was a man that was known as a person that was a Mr. Sunshine. And by the way, you don't keep a good testimony by going to rated R movies. You don't keep a good testimony by gambling at the casinos. You do not keep a good testimony by going out and crippling or damaging somebody else's testimony, yea, your own testimony even, by the pictures that you post on an Instagram or a Facebook of things that you are doing that should not be once named among Christianity. You know, the Bible talks about keeping that good name. In Judges chapter 16 and verse 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass. Now think about this. Temptation does not stop at one time. The Bible says, and it came to pass when she passed him daily with her words. She urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. And so here comes Delilah, and the Bible says it came to pass. Daily came to pass. daily came to pass. You see, the tempter, when he comes to you, he knows what your weaknesses are, and he's not going to tempt you just one time. If he knows what your weaknesses are, he'll continue to knock at that door over and over and over again until you decide to either put a lock on the door or you decide that you're going to give in to the opening of that door. You have to be very, very careful not to be overcome by temptation. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, the Bible says, but thou, O man of God, it says, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. And so God says that you're supposed to follow after these things. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 22, the Bible says, flee also youthful lust. It says, but follow after, it says, but follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace. And it says, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Stand up if you will, Brother Craig, and stand up if you would please, Brother Butler. Brother Butler, hold your Bible, put yours down. Okay, I have a choice in life every day of my life. I can choose to go the way of the flesh, or I can choose to go the way of the Spirit. There's love, joy, peace, forgiveness, there's all those things. Or there's that which is the arm of the flesh, and all the evilness that is there with that arm of the flesh, the hatred and the seditions and the heresies and all these things that's over there, the lying and all these things that's over there as an arm of the flesh. I have a choice just like you have a choice, but watch this. When you make your choice, others watch you make your choice. We live in such a public society nowadays. You say, I wish people would stop judging me wrong. Well, then don't do wrong for them to judge you with. It's simple. You stay away from wrong and they have no ammunition to fire at you. The Bible says, cease to do evil, learn to do good. So what do? Here I am, I'm drinking liquor. Here I am, I'm smoking. Here I am, attending the theaters. Here I am, doing all this stuff, posting all sorts of different pictures that are not proper, that are not right. Now, wait a minute. You don't want to be a stumbling block, so what should you do? It's simple. Cease. You cease. You stop immediately. Stop. Talking bad about someone, stop. Amen. Criticizing someone, stop. Drinking liquor, stop. Smoking, you say, but marijuana is legalized. Not in God's sight. Now you listen to me. Hey, just because the government has issued a new definition of marriage doesn't mean that God's changed his definition. God's definition is still the same. So what do? You just decide, I'm not going to be a part of that. And by the way, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's about time that Christians stand up. It's about time that Christians open their mouth. It's about time that you decide you're going to do what's right and go forward and serve God and forget about being accused. Hey, let the accusing come, but you stand for that which is right. You stand for that which is truth. You go forward to serve Jesus Christ and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. I'm saying this. Here's what happened in Samson's life. Samson decided he was going to throw away his name, and so it cost him his name. Thank you. Be seated if you will. Not only did it cost that which was Samson his name, but watch this. It cost him his freedom. Look at it. Judges chapter 16 verse 21. We're in the Bible tonight. Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, listen to it now in verse 21. The Bible says, and the Philistines took him. Now, by the way, who can take a strong man other than a strong man yielding to that which is weakness? He yielded. How did he yield? The things he was involved in. Watch this, though. The Bible says, but the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. The Bible says, and bound him with feathers of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Here was a man Brother Crutcher, running across the top of the slope. Here was a man briskly sprinting across that which was a valley plain. Here was a man carrying the gates, if you would please, of Gaza, heading over towards Mount Hebron, climbing up 40-mile walk, having that big structure upon his shoulders, a masculine fella. And now all of a sudden, not only did it cost him his name, but it cost him his freedom. They took from him. There was a man. He was an All-American basketball player. He was in the Arizona State University. When he graduated, All-American. I'm talking about All-American basketball player. He decided to go into the Army. He got lured. He got on alcohol. He started smoking cigarettes. Life was ruined. Future ruined. Why? Succumbed by temptation. By the way, what is wrong with doing right? You say, well, I can't do right all the time. How do you know unless you try? Well, preacher, you don't understand. You know, it's difficult. Life's not easy. Especially when you live in a non-Christian society. You try to be Christian in a non-Christian society, and you aren't going to have challenges. There's going to be people who say curse words at your work. They might even curse at you. They're going to be playing wrong music at your work. Why don't somebody decide they're not going to curse with them and not play the music with them? All we're saying is this. Somebody needs to decide that you're not going to simply throw away your life. You say, but preacher, I've already trashed my life. It's over. It's not over. You've got a forgiving God. You've got a restoring God. You've got somebody that will walk beside you and they will help you. Hey, one thing you know about our church is that we try to help people. You don't find out all the junk I talk about in my office. Say, why, preacher? Because it's none of your business. Somebody comes to my office and they got a bad habit. They're trying to get victory. I'm going to counsel them, but I don't need your advice to try and help them. And I don't want you to judge them when they're walking down the hallway. Well, you know, I saw so-and-so walking down the hallway the other day and I knew that they had sinned. How did you know? And why is it that we, here's what happens, okay? Come here, David. David has sinned. And that's exactly what would happen. So I bring David up here and I say, look, I want you to know that David, and I tell you about his sin. David has sinned. It's wicked, bad, evil. Watch this. I tell everybody in here about it. Most of you are not Christ-like enough to encourage him, pray for him, help him, forgive him, strengthen him. But most of us are weak enough that we'll judge him. So every time he walks down the hallway, here's what we do. Yeah, I remember him. I remember him. And then we become Superman. You know, Jesus is here tonight, and Gracie, and we love you. We're so glad. That was neat. You know, I don't know who thought of that, but the guys opened up their shirts, and you were Superman, right? You had that Superman. So if you need help tonight, see him. Now watch this, if you will. Okay? But most of us are not that way. You know, most of us, here's what we're going to do. Somebody sins, somebody does wrong. You know, we get together and say, hey, you know what I heard about him? Yeah, brother so-and-so told me. And then we get real Christian about it. We need to pray for him. Now, you're using your gossip-spreading tongue as a way to talk about a brother that needs encouragement. Hey, enter into your secret closet if you know something. Pray for him. But when you see him in public, say, hey, man, it's great to see you. Man, I'm glad you're in church today. Man, I tell you what, God has been so good. Hey, let's do this. Let's walk together. Let's talk about God's goodness. You want to do that? Hey, what's wrong with that? That's what our young people need. They don't need somebody to kick them and 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 somebody to... They don't need that. And by the way, if you hang around, I said this today in my Sunday school class, if you hang around a critic long enough, you'll become one. Right. Hang around somebody that's always looking for the negative. And by the way, you know why they're looking for the negative? I can promise you they're not in their Bible. Because my Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You're looking for, you find somebody that's always being offended. Well, they hurt my feelings. Well, I got offended. Well, they're not walking with God. Now, they may be reading their Bible, but they're not allowing God to speak to them the way God wants to speak to them. All right, thank you. Watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. Thank you, Brother Craig. Statement number one, it cost him his name. Statement number two, it cost him his freedom. No longer is he a strong man, he's bound. No longer does he have freedom, he's tied up. No longer can he look at the things he wants to look at, he can't see. He is bound. All right, years ago, those in North America, the monkey trappers, and I've told this story two or three times since I've been pastor here, the monkey trappers would decide they're going to trap the monkey. They'd take a coconut, or they'd take a gourd, and they put some nuts in it, just drill a little bit of hole, put it in there just a little bit for the monkey to be able to reach that hand in there. They'd take the other end of the gourd, the other end of the coconut, whatever the case may be, and they would attach a chain to it or a very strong rope, because monkeys are very strong. And so that monkey would come in, he'd shake that gourd, he'd shake that dry coconut, he'd hear that rattling on the inside, he'd put his hand in there to grab that nut. When he grabbed the nut, he would clasp it with his hand shut. And he would try to pull out his hand, couldn't do it. But they did not have the sense to let go of the nut. So what would happen was, they would come, they'd loosen the chain, they'd take the monkey all the way home. You know why? Because he's still holding on to the nut. No, the moral of the story is not to get close to a nut. But that's the way we do sin. You know, we grab a hold of something, it's just a little thing, but that little thing gets such a big grip on us, and that's called that besetting sin. And it gets such a grip on us, before you know it, we're giving more attention to it. We're giving more of a vision to it. We're living in the dream of fulfilling it over and over again to the point and to the place that we ourselves find ourselves in the captivity. I remember the story talking to an Alaskan about how they would take, and we had a guy that when I pastored in Tennessee, and he had a girl's home, and before he came and started a girl's home for unwedded mothers in our church, out of our church there in Tennessee, and he was a good brother, but he was a missionary to Alaska. And he said the Alaskans would share with him how that they would catch the wolves. They would kill the wolves. And what they would do is they would take blood, and they would put it on a long sword, and then they would freeze it. Then they'd take more blood and put it on a long sword, and they would freeze it. Then they'd take more blood and they'd put it on that long sword, they'd freeze it. Take more blood, put it on the long sword, they'd freeze it. Then they'd take the handle of the sword and they'd poke it firmly down into the icy snow. The sun would begin to melt the exterior layer of the blood. The wolf would pick up the scent. The wolf would come over, get around that long knife, that long sword, and would begin to sniff it, and then would begin to lick it. As he licked it, his tongue would freeze. As his tongue would freeze, it would begin to slash his tongue into pieces. As it slashed his tongue into pieces, he was drinking his own blood. After a while, he would begin to lose blood as he's walking off, and they said it was easy to pick up the wolf. All we had to do was follow the trail of blood, and eventually we'd find the body. Now, I love you, but you got to be careful. Because you say, oh, preacher, the things I'm viewing on the internet, I just had one porno site, all the things I'm viewing on the internet, just a little bit bad, but the thing is, it's got a grip on you. Well, the music that I only listen to it in my car when my parents don't know it. It's got a grip on you. You don't understand, preacher. Hey, I've had the summertime. I'm not in Bible college now. I can watch any videos that I want to. And you're watching the stuff that you shouldn't be watching. It's got blood on it. It's got guts on it. It's got nakedness on it. And I'm telling you, it's going to ruin you. You're licking that sword, licking that sword, licking that sword, licking that sword. And eventually, you're going to wind up ruined. Can I tell you? Statement number one. He lost his name. Statement number two, he lost his freedom. You ready? Statement number three, lost his eyes. Now he can't see. We're talking about this tonight, the cost of doing wrong. Judges chapter 16, verse 21, the Bible says, and the Philistines took him, watch it, put out his eyes. Put out his eyes. He lost his eyesight, not just his freedom. But in that very same verse, he lost his eyes. You ready? People come to church. They hear preaching. They say, "I don't see nothing wrong with it." Lost their vision. I don't see why preacher's always harping on it. Lost the vision. See, you can get so involved in doing that which is wrong, that eventually you convince yourself there's nothing wrong with it. And we become, come on, man, I tell you what, I wish, now I want to believe that would happen. I do. I want to believe it will happen. I want to believe that one day our church will be 100% sold out to Jesus Christ. You know how easy that would be to pastor people? Hello? You know what I find out, however? I find out that the people that are the finger pointers are normally doing it because they want to get people diverted from them because they're afraid people will see the wrong in their life. Because they also have a bunch of junk in their life. I also find this out, that sometimes the people that complain about things the most are the least dedicated Christians. I don't see them out soul winning. I don't see them going to the altar. I don't see them trying to help anybody. Now, here's what I'm saying. They lose their sight. Don't lose your sight. You say, well, I tell you what, I don't want to be around so-and-so. Come here. Now, I'm so proud of him. He got beat up by Brother Bachman. Whole time I was sitting there, and Brother Bachman had him in the headlock, hitting on his head. I'm thinking, and I'm praying for him, dear God, please don't let him get an attitude. God, please, I don't want to lose him. I want to keep him in church. Help him to keep a good heart. I was praying that he would be okay. I said, weren't you praying for the preacher? Shh. I was praying that he'd be okay. Because I love him. I pastor him. And all of a sudden he goes walking down. And he had one of these haircuts that were like, you know, I mean, it was, you put your hand in there, you didn't know what was coming. I mean, he went out, got a real, looks real sharp. Nobody told him to do it. Is that right, Brother Crutcher? Nobody told him to do it. Is that right? Somebody worked with him. I don't know who worked with him. You worked with him? You did? Okay. Sorry. Is that right? But now, good attitude. Good attitude. Now, by the way, listen, if somebody corrects your child, now let me be preacher tonight. I won't be very long. I won't be preacher very long tonight. But if somebody corrects your child, don't get mad at them. Well, they didn't have a right to correct my child. You better thank God they did. You need more eyes on your children, not less. I have people all the time say, well, I just want to go join a smaller church because, You know, after all, if I join a smaller church, then, well, you know, people at smaller churches work jobs too. But when you have a larger staff, there's more people to help, more people to see. When you have more, we have 57 Sunday school teachers, they can see. But don't get mad at them if they see something. Listen, teenagers, don't get mad at them if they come up and they tell you, hey, you need to straighten up a little bit more. You're doing something that's not right, straighten up. There's nothing wrong with that. Take that and say, thank you. Thank you. I mean, go up to Brother Butler, all of a sudden, you know, he goes up and he straightens somebody. Hey, you as a dad, you ought to say, Brother Butler, you corrected my kid in the hallway. Thank you. Thank you. What's your favorite place to eat?
Saltgrass.
God bless you. God bless you. Hope you can go there one day. Okay? But be a blessing back. Okay, statement number one. It cost him his name, cost him his freedom, cost him his eyes. You ready? Almost done. Cost him his family. Cost him his family. You know, Jacob left, stepped out, backslid, never saw his mom again. Absalom lost his relationship with both his dad and his mom. Lot lost his members of the family, lost his wife. There's a great price. It was Moody that said this, sin will cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay, take you farther than you want to go. Now, sin will cost you. We have to be very, very careful to understand that sin has a price. Sin has a price. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get right. I preach youth camps or youth conferences. Teenager comes up to me. They said, Pastor, I've sinned. There's no hope. No, there's always hope. Hey, wipe yourself off. Get yourself back up. Stop sucking your thumb. Get out there and serve God. There's always hope. You can always start over again. Life is like a bicycle. You fall off, you get back up, you ride again. What's the big deal? You got to get up. You can't live in the nursery. Oh, don't get mad at me. But you can't live in the nursery department all the days of your life. You shouldn't have to anybody have to chase you and say, where were you? I missed you in Sunday school. Nobody ought to have to chase you. Nobody ought to have to call you, where were you? I missed you in church. Hey, we ought to love God enough that we got some good old-fashioned character about us. Yeah. I'm saying this tonight. Cost him his name, freedom, cost him his eyes, cost him his family. Achan, Joshua chapter 7, when Achan sinned, the Bible talks about that when they found the wedge of gold, when they found the garment, when they found the silver, listen to this, and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had was brought into the valley of Achor. Listen to it. And Israel stoned him, Judges chapter 7 and verse 25, stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire. And the Bible says, and they had stoned them with stones. Achan's sin, daughter had to pay for it. Achan's sin, sons had to pay for it. Achan's sin, wife had to pay for it. Achan's sin, all the sheep had to pay for it. Achan's sin, all the household was destroyed. One man's sin, everybody paid. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's been times I've sat in this chair. I look at my dear wife, of whom I love very deeply. Look at my daughter. Look at my three sons. And sometimes I'll just come in here during the week. I'll sit there. I'll look at that pulpit right there. I'll pray behind that pulpit. And I'll say, Dear God, please protect me. I don't want to have to get up one day and in shame say, I just want you to know I've sinned and I need to resign. I don't think I could look my wife in the eyes. I don't think I could look my daughter in the eyes I don't think I could look my three sons and their wives in the eyes. I'm saying this. I'm saying it cost him his family. Hey, before you step out and do something stupid, why don't you think it all the way through? How's it going to affect your mom? How's it going to affect your dad? Is it going to break your mom's heart? Is it going to break your dad's heart? Is it going to make your parents think more highly of you or less of you? Is it going to make them appreciate you more or less? Is it going to make them have the ability to talk to somebody about you and say, boy, I tell you what, thank God for my daughter. Thank God for my son. Let me tell you how proud I am of them. Are they going to be able to say that? Or are they going to have to get with somebody and say, please pray for my son gone off in sin? Gone off in sin. See, you make that choice. You make that choice. What some of you guys need to do and some of you gals need to do, you need to make a choice to live for God just because you don't want to break your parents' heart. So, man, I've already blown it. We've already covered that. So you've blown it. We get up tomorrow morning and read your Bible. It's a fresh day. We get up tomorrow morning and respect your mom. Respect your dad. Hey, I learned this years ago. I was a Catholic boy. Got saved brand new in the Baptist group. Brand new. Made one mistake in my life in the Baptist group. Here's what I did. I was coming home and some things irked me that I saw. Some people rubbed me the wrong way in the Baptist church. I told my mom about it in the kitchen. My mom spent most of her days in the kitchen, and she had to feed us boys. And so I talked to my mom in the kitchen, and I said, let me tell you something. Mom, this happened today at the Baptist church. It unnerved me. And my mother turned to me and immediately said, you shouldn't go back. I said, one negative thing, shouldn't go back. After that, I thought, ooh, I might miss the opportunity of going back if I keep opening my big mouth. And my parents will never go to that church if I criticize it. So I decided I wasn't going to ruin my parents. I got a sermon I preach on how to rear godly parents. But I decided I wasn't going to ruin my parents. Now, I didn't have to make up good things about the church. Church had a lot of good things. I just had to speak them. So then I came back and I said, hey, Mom, guess what? I like to do the dishes tonight because Dr. Smith, my pastor, said da-da-da-da-da-da. And I like to be able to do the dishes tonight because, after all, I know that you learned that at church? Yeah, Dr. Smith said we need to help our parents, and you're my parent, so Mom, you qualify. So I like to be able to do the dishes tonight, if that'd be okay. And she said, wow, keep going back to that church. Some of you are going to ruin your wives because you got such a critical tongue. All you do is go home at night. All you do is pick apart the church. Some of you are going to ruin your husbands. One day, your husband, your wife, your children are going to drop out of church because of you and your stupidity. You're going to ruin them. You go ahead. Go home and just trash the church to your kid. Go ahead. Well, you can't believe everything that the preacher said. I don't agree with everything the preacher said. Well, that's a duh. You will not agree 100% with any man. You don't even agree with yourself. That's why you keep changing makeup. I mean, you know, come on. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, here's what we understand. Here was a man, mighty man, Mr. Sunshine, running across the mountaintops. People saying, there he goes, Mr. Sunshine. Wow, look at him. There he is, man of strength, going down to the gates of Gaza, ripping off the doors, taking the posts, putting them on his shoulders, walking up the hill 40 miles to lay him down on Mount Hebron. Wow, what a guy. Lost his name. Lost his freedom. Lost his eyes. Lost his family. Last one. Here we go. Lost his life. Lost his life. Can't name his name. He's a friend of mine. And I would not dare hurt him. Had a friend of mine in New York. We used to go down to the bus station. A lot of kids would run away to New York looking for fame and fortune. We'd try to get them before the pimps and the pushers got them. Because the pimps would say, okay, here's what we're going to do. That is the drug dealers. The pimps would say, man, we'll put you up for the night, give you soup, nice place to stay. They put drugs inside of their soup, drug them. Then they'd sell them for hire. After the bodies got all worn out, they'd butcher them, throw them in the harbor, Hudson River. You read about it all the time back in the 80s. Terrible, terrible stuff. So my friend got a burden. Wanted to start a home for runaway boys and girls. He'd go down to the bus stations. He'd watch the kids get off the buses. He'd try and rescue them before the pimps and the pushers got to them. He'd offer them the same thing. Place to sleep, soup with no drugs. Bible counseling. Get them right, get them back with mom and daddy. That was his desire. Great ministry. One day he got depressed. Went back out to the street. He used to be on drugs. He knew what drugs was, knew what to do to come out of a state of depression. Went back on the streets. Found himself a drug dealer. He knew who they were. Got himself just a little bit of drugs. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Shot up. Thought that would bring him out of depression. Dirty needle. Months later, AIDS. One wrong decision, ruined life. One wrong decision, ruined life. Oh, but preacher, it's not going to hurt me. Preacher, it'll be okay. I can just miss a little church. By the way, if you're going to miss church, what are you going to miss it for? You're going to stay home, watch the movies? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, you know, I'm fed up. I just want to stay home. I need a break from God, from church, from where God is speaking to your heart. You need a break? Come on. Be real. Well, you know, I come to church and I just, I'm having a hard time. Okay, you ready? How many of you in church tonight, in some time, history gone by or present, have had or are having a hard time? Raise your hand. Whoa. And you're still here. Wow. You mean you can still be faithful to church and still be having a hard time? Hey, you know what I found out about valleys? You always come out of them. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you keep walking, you'll come out on the other side. Here's what happens. Somebody gets depressed. They say, well, I tell you what, I'm depressed. I'm just going to not serve God. I'm quitting everything. That was hard. Now, here's what happens. Then nobody can help. When two walk together, somebody there for you. Look, can I tell you something? You better thank God tonight. I'm done. You better thank God tonight. You got a mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandparent, Sunday school teacher, bus captain, friend. You better thank God tonight that somebody loves you enough to walk beside you and check on you when you're not doing right. Thank God that somebody loves you enough to be there for you without trying to ruin you. Hello? Somebody came to my office the other day and they saw a young couple in my office, nosy. I'm serious, they were nosy. Standing outside my office door, waiting. Young couple left, person standing outside the door. They say, hey, Pastor, is so-and-so okay? I said, oh, yeah, they're great. They're great. Well, is there anything I need to know? I'm their friend. I could really help them. If you tell me what their problem is, I could really not just pray for them, love them, be there for them, cheer them on. Hey, they'll make it. It's not my place to tell them. It's none of their business. If they wanted their friend to know, they would have went to their friend. Look, I'm saying, and I'm done, cost him his life. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay, I'm done. Back up. Here we go. I'm done. So I can decide. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come over here, and I'm just going to do a little bit of sowing. I'm going to come over here, do a little bit of sowing. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to decide. Here you go. Help me out a little bit. Tear them up. I'm going to come over here, do a little bit of sowing. See how fast you are? There you go. I'm going to come over here, do a little bit of sowing. I'm going to come over here, do a little. Stay with me now. This is the way the average Christian lives. One way at work, another way at church, one way at home, another one around the good Christian friends, another one around the worldly Christian friends, one way over here reading the Bible, one way over here that's wet, not doing what they're supposed to do, one way over here going soul winning, one way over here listening to bad music, one way over here dressing the way they want to dress to please them, one way over here dressing to please God, one way over here using bad words. Now, what I should do is this. What I should do is just spend all my life just doing this. That's what I should do. But you choose that. Look, you can go home tonight and have a horrible time if you want to. You can go out tonight and say, oh, let me tell you what I disagreed with about the preacher. Hey, I got one far better for you than that. This preacher deserves to be in hell. That's why I deserve the land. But because of the good grace of God, I ain't going there. Amen. So no matter what you say, I deserve worse. That's how somebody the other day, they said, well, how come you don't get offended? Because I know where I belong. I belong one day in the pit of hell. And there's nothing worse than that. But I don't have to go there, so I can spend a life rejoicing. I can spend a life serving God. I can actually be happy about serving God. Because I know where I am going that I don't deserve to go. I'm saying this. Don't decide to do wrong. It'll cost you. But if you do wrong, decide to get right. Then start planting the seed. You say, well, what about all that seed that was planted over there, preacher? What about that? It'll come up. I'm telling you, I'm sorry. But it'll come up. But what if you plant more of a harvest over here? This is going to come up more. That's what you want to do. That's how come I say, you don't need less church. You need more church. Amen. Planting good seed. You don't need to be less spiritual. You need to be more spiritual. Planting good seed. You put yourself in the right area, you grow more. You just grow more. You can live there if you want to, but over there is death. You can live here, and it's the abundant life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.